Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. So today, my episode, episode 35, is inspired by the reaction to something I posted earlier this week. The post was about manifestation and how ultimately we did manifest every single thing in our lives, right? Now, remember, manifestation, cause and effect, what is put into motion creates, right? And I had somebody respond, as many people do, that if I and others like me, because I actually didn't create the meme that I shared, if we are going to claim that we manifest every single little thing into our lives, what about the stuff that happens to us when we're children? Are we responsible for that? My response on Facebook was that it's complicated, and it is. And that is why, well, episode 35. So what about the children? What's the big picture? I want you to bear with me, all right? If you've listened to episodes in the past, then the first thing I'm going to say won't be a surprise to you. But for some people, it can feel like a sucker punch to the gut to hear and to take in one very important spiritual truth. We choose our parents. Now, sometimes this is really good news to parents who take grave responsibility for the circumstances in which a child enters the world, the health of their physical body, their mental health, and things like that. And while, yes, there is some sort of genetic responsibility, and each parent is responsible for his or her own spiritual path, we are chosen by our children, and therefore, we chose our parents as well. Now, before you get upset at that notion, let it sink in for a second and think once again about the big picture of what this entire spiritual plane in the real world is for. This place is education. It is college. And just like when you choose to go to college or trade school or wherever you choose, you learn. And you choose a curriculum that will guide you in your future to create the better future self and future life that you desire. So travel with me backwards to that place in space and time that we really can't humanly explain without limiting it, right? This place where we are choosing to come to the human plane and have a human experience. In that place, we have an idea of the education, of the human experience that we want to have. Some people come quite purely and simply for the human experience. They want to be a husband and a father or a grandmother or something very honorable and very human. Now, while we do all come for human experiences, there are those of us who come with another mission as well. Perhaps it is a spiritual path, not unlike my own. Perhaps it is to touch a life, to be a teacher, or to work at Hardee's. For those of you in different parts of the country, you know, that's a burger joint. Okay? It doesn't matter. Our spiritual path and education, the way that we may touch others through our own experiences, this is something that we cannot question and that you can rest assured is in the plan for you if your childhood experiences were challenging. So in that place, you can call it a waiting room, though that is dramatically inaccurate. Here in this space, we have an idea of what we want to come to the earth for. in the story, The Little Soul in the Sun, a beautiful book to share with your own children or even with yourselves. It talks about how the little soul was where everything was so perfect and wanted to understand what love was, what forgiveness was. And in that story, the personification of the universe, of God, says to the child, the only way to do that is to go to the earth where people are blinded by their humanness so that you can experience the imperfection that helps you to understand who you are. That's a pretty good parable or metaphor for what actually does happen. We choose to come, and essentially we look around and we choose a mother based on the experiences we are likely to have as her child. Now, this is not completely predestined, okay? People are not controlled like puppets, but there is what is most likely to happen, and we can see that quite clearly when we're void of human skin, okay? My son once, he was like four, he said to me, Mama, I was in heaven, and I was this old man, and I decided that I wanted to be human again, and so I chose a boy, and then I looked for a mother, and I read all of the reviews, and yours were the best for what I needed you to be. And so I grabbed sister by the hand and we chose you. For those of you who don't know, he has a twin sister. Now, again, a humanization of what happens, but pretty accurate. So we look around and we choose our mothers, and we choose them for different reasons. Some of us choose an experience that will shake us awake, right? Trial by fire. Our spirit says, I have things to do, people to help, something to accomplish, and I don't want to waste the time of complacency within my flesh suit. Let me choose an environment that will shake me awake. And now it's a gamble, right? I mean, we could fall victim to it. It's spirit saying, I can overcome this. And it's worth the risk. Okay. So those of you who had parents or a parent or a family member, sometimes it's a sibling, sometimes it's someone else, who shook you to your core and challenged your physical body or your mental health or the way that you interact with other human beings, understand, like it or not, we chose that, to overcome it, to be able to see the opposite. And sure, you have the human right to hold on to whatever that asshole did to you, but you also have the right to let it go, to grow through it, and if need be, to stay the hell away from that person. So we choose that environment. Everyone older than us, siblings, family members, anyone that is likely to interact with us, we do make that choice. And we even know if we're likely to be given up for adoption or lose a parent or whatever. We know what is most likely. And so again, we roll the dice. Then we watch that little body grow inside the mother. We watch that, and we can see what is going on with that body. We can see if it is going to be male or female. We can see if it is going to have mental challenges, if it is going to have physical challenges, if it is likely to be an addict. We can see that, and we choose whether or not to accept that body. That, my darlings, is why there are so many miscarriages. Something like 1 in 3 miscarry, 1 in 3 pregnancies, and even more that are unknown, that are early, early on. The spirit says, no, I'm not going to take that gamble. I'm going to wait. And sometimes they wait for the same mother, and sometimes they move on. And if they come, if we came, any one of us, with a challenge from our body, whether you are dealing with depression or addiction or cancer, childhood illnesses, okay, are something we could see the potential for in the body. And we came anyway. Most adult illnesses too. And yes, yes, at a young age, we are very affected by our parents' will and belief. That is why in most religions, they say that the parents are responsible for the soul until the child is 12. Now, 12 being a symbol, I don't believe it's necessarily the years on our life. It may be less, it may be more. But it's when we have the will and the strength and the foresight to override our parents' beliefs and potential manifestations in our own lives and our own bodies. So when we come into illness, when we come into poverty, when we come into horrible people, horrible parents, horrible environments, we did sign up for this. If that makes you angry, remember that anger is not a real emotion. Anger is what we feel when we're not ready to accept what we really feel. And that's okay. When it passes, you will see the lessons beneath it, the big picture, the motivation it is meant to be, the spiritual education, the fire for awakening, and the pointedness at our future selves, our future goals and lives and manifestations. What we do with this curriculum is up to us. We can be a victim or we can be triumphant. That is up to us. So is it your fault when the meme I posted says that we are responsible for every single manifestation? That doesn't mean we are at fault. There's no fault. It is what it is. It is what we signed up for from the beginning. Parents carry their own issues into things, and kids can give them clarity. But if our parents couldn't listen, if they couldn't see, if they couldn't grow, if they couldn't change, that's not on us. We didn't come here for them. We came here for our own spiritual education and awakening. Yes, parents, it is our job to teach them worldly things, to teach them anything we can about living this life and spiritually awakening. Yes, it is our job to protect them. But they do also have their own intrinsic, we had our own intrinsic blockers. This thing that only let so much in. This is why we remember things as we get older. Things come back to us. Beloved, those reoccurring memories, those flashes, those are tools. It's not just punishment. It's not just your brain firing. It is the universe trying to help you learn from the past instead of having to re-experience the same lessons and the same cycles again and again, now and in the future. Don't get angry at those memories. Don't be fearful of them. You don't have to relive them, beloved. You just have to view them. Grab a hold. I don't recall if I've ever discussed what I call globing on a podcast before. But when those memories come floating by, the ones that you want to say, no, I don't want to think about that, and you just want to push it away, grab it instead. The first few times you try, you may shove them away before you get a hold of them. That's okay. Grab it. I call it globing because I imagine I've captured it in a glass ball. This helps me to remember it is not my job to relive that. That's not the point. It's not about discovering who was wrong. It's not about reliving it. It's not about punishment. It's about bearing witness. I think about, I don't even know if kids make them now, but a diorama from a book report. Okay? Look at that thing trapped in that glass ball. It cannot hurt you. Ask yourself, what did I learn and how did I grow? And if you didn't, ask yourself, what do I learn and how do I grow? What is the lesson within? Is it stand up for yourself? Is it trust your intuition? Is it run? Is it listen? What's the lesson? Pull out the lesson. Pull it out. And any shiny golden pieces. And let the rest go. Pull out the lesson and the shiny golden pieces and take that globe and crush it. Crush it, throw it up against the wall, stomp on it, light it on fire. It's not magic. It's for your brain. It's saying, I don't need that anymore. And it does require us letting go of the right to. The right to hold on to it. The right to be afraid. The right to be hurt. We can hold on to the right to be upset about things that caused us pain. But when we see the cause and effect, the manifestation on the other side, we'll realize it was worth it. It was a catalyst. Listen, if you haven't figured out what the suffering was for, it only means you're not done yet. Whether you can recognize it yet or not, that thing, that struggle, that pain, it was an integral part of who you will become. Maybe it's a part of you already and you just haven't noticed. I'm thinking about one of my regulars. She is an unbelievably successful businesswoman and loving, happy mother. The things she lived with, the mother, the woman who took her from trailer to trailer and man to man, the woman that put herself and her lovely daughter in so much danger that as a child she had to pull a gun on a grown man and tell him to get his hands off her mother and get the hell out of their lives. She didn't realize it. She didn't realize it till she's now in her 40s and heard me say the words. It has made her everything that she is and all the things she's turning into. I know it can feel like a sucker punch to the gut. And I know from my own experience. When I first learned that I chose, it took me a while to reconcile that. But once I did, I could see clearly. I would not be who I am without the experiences that I had. It was absolutely necessary. It was necessary to push me, to seek, to find, to learn, to grow. It was necessary so that when I look someone in the eyes and say, it's all gonna be okay, they believe me. There had to be challenges so I could help others. Maybe that's the point of yours. Maybe it motivated your career. Maybe it's for some random person you just see once that you have the magic words to heal. On the other side of release, you'll realize why your spirit took that gamble. And why it was worth it. No. It's not our fault. It's our choice. The only thing that becomes our fault is if we continue to suffer and struggle after we know better. be a victim or be triumphant. Choose. There are layers, okay? There are layers like an onion. You will unpeel and unravel. You will remember new things to learn from and release. It will peel away. You'll think you've resolved it, and you'll have that layer that peels away where you feel calm. And then something will trigger the next little bit of layer, the next piece there. Because just like how children are able to block things out until the timing is right for them to receive it, we are too. We must assimilate in between there, and we must have moments, rememberings, little tests to make sure that we have grown through, from, and away. And eventually, we peel that onion to the core, and the little piece of ugly pops right out. And never again does it break our hearts or bring us fear, resistance, or regret. Instead, we smile because we see the source of who and what we have become. And that thing that we have become is worth it. You are worth it, beloved. And in the end, pain is worth it too. And it gets easier and easier. And we notice sooner and sooner so that the universe doesn't have to poke us so hard. So what about when we were children? Did you suffer? Was it difficult? As unfair as your humanness may want you to believe it is, it was your spirit giving you a head start. Let that soak in. And let's choose to be triumphant. Until next time, beloved, namaste.
I jumped at an opportunity to sing the praises of Jennifer because she is more than just a mentor to me. She is my friend. And I've thought a lot about what I want to say. And honestly, I could fill easily an hour or more with examples of how her gifts have played out in my life, the changes, the amazing, truly, actually mind-blowing stuff. But what I really think is most important for people to know is who Jennifer is at her core. I think we've all met or seen spiritual teachers on TV that they want to be our everything. We have a problem, you come to them. Every decision you make, hey, run it past them. From simple things even, you want to change your wallpaper in your bathroom, this is the kind of micromanagement they have in your life. That is not even remotely who Jennifer is. She doesn't want to be your guru, and she certainly isn't here to lead a flock of followers. She's here to help us awaken our own gifts, tune into your own voice, be able to hear your own God speaking to you in order to lead our very, very best life. She's here as a guide and a mentor, and on occasion, she might kick your tail feather a little bit, but honesty is also very, very important in a mentor and friend. I know it has been an amazing gift in my life meeting her. The day I found her online, that was a blessing. Walking into her home for my first personal session, life-altering experience. And here I am, several years later, and listening to her podcast. I'm a patron online. All of these things. But my life has changed truly for the better. I am better. I feel better. I'm more confident. I am more certain. And most importantly, I am more at peace because of the things that she has taught me and helped me and guided me with. I'm blessed. She has been a blessing in my life, and I truly appreciate her.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Jen in real life. That is patron-only content. If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.